Good morning. It is August 17th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is The Main Thing. And I only have one reading from Scripture today. It's a very familiar passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The main thing. I cannot tell you how many times, in subtle and not so subtle ways, people have come over to me and asked me, "What do you do as a pastor?" And I've given them various answers depending on the context, the person, and the situation. I've said to people, "Well, I counsel with people," and that's true, I have. I've said on other occasions, "I marry and bury people," and that is also true, and I've done that. I have also shared with some people that I lead discussions, and the discussions could be pertaining to the Bible, or to current events, or maybe a mixture of both. And I've also said to people that I help the church raise money in order to pay its bills and to keep it open and the lights on. All those topics I listed out are true, and they are important, and they need to be done by the pastor or the lay leadership of a local church. Yet, what is the main thing Christians and local churches are called to do? I think the answer is found in the scripture that I read from Matthew's Gospel. The main thing is to make disciples. That is the business, part and parcel of the church. Now, why is that the case? Well, some might think, shouldn't we take our marching orders from social influencers on TikTok or other social media platforms? Or shouldn't we take the lead from political pundits on cable television or TV personalities? And some people inside the church, and most definitely outside the church, say, isn't it more polite and civil to keep our beliefs private and to ourselves? Well, the answer to that last comment and question is found in the reading from Matthew's Gospel. Let me read it again to reinforce this truth. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Today, as a church, we are fulfilling the Great Commission given by Jesus to those who love him and want to serve him. You know, sometimes becoming a disciple and a believer and follower of Jesus is like trying on a new pair of clothes. You are trying it on. That's the key phrase and word. I know many people today prefer to buy their clothes online out of convenience. They don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to drive. They don't have to deal with the hassle of people and weather and etc. So it's easy to stay home, go on your computer, click on a button and order it. Other people like to try on their clothes. They want to see what they look like in them. They want to see how it feels, the texture. Do they feel comfortable? And they want to know if they look good in it.
You can't do that online, but you can do it in person. So people are trying on the Christian faith. Why are they trying on the Christian faith? Because they're searching. And why are they searching? Because there is a spiritual hole, a vacuum in the soul that remains that way despite all the things that you and I try to do to fill it, despite the thrills, the spills, the joy, the sadness, the emotion, the elation, the despair. Despite the ups and downs and all the vagaries of life, there is a spiritual hole in our soul until Christ fills it. That hole that is in our soul, that desire for something more, is none other than the Spirit of God speaking to you in your situation, in your life circumstances. You know, it's interesting when young children climb up into the grandparents' lap, whether grandma or grandpa, and they talk and they reminisce and they share all the fun they have together. At some point, a grandchild could ask grandma or grandpa, "What is God really like?" Or maybe it's a junior boy that's having a hard time fitting in with his classmates, because his classmates can be cruel and they could shun him and ostracize him and make fun of him. And that junior high boy comes home dejected and discouraged and says to his father, "Are all people like that?" Or maybe another example of people trying to fill the hole in their lives. Maybe you're a retiree. Maybe your work days are behind you. And all the goals and dreams and aspirations you had, you've either met them or you have not. And now in your retirement years, you say to yourself, "Now what?" I'm going to read to you a portion of a poem by a now deceased Episcopal priest by the name of Sam Schumacher. And the poem written by him is titled the following: "I Stand by the Door." I'm only going to read really the first few lines. "I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which men walk when they find God." You know, many would-be disciples of Christ are checking things out. They are trying things on. What does it really look like to love and to follow Jesus, despite all their imperfections, despite their moral failures, despite their weaknesses and frailties in body, soul, and mind? You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the opportunity, my family and I, to take my daughter to a concert in Cleveland, Ohio, and we were able to see Morgan Wallen. And his concert was outdoors where the Cleveland Browns play. And for the most part, the stadium was sold out, and he was performing Friday and Saturday nights. And as we were walking in, I was taking observation of where we were. I was looking at the landmarks. I always do this. And I tried to stress that to my children and to my spouse. When you're going somewhere, pay attention. Look at the landmarks so that you remember where you are. Long story short, as the concert was over, it didn't start till almost 9:30. It's dark outside. There are literally tens of thousands of people leaving the stadium. I figured out a way to get out of the stadium and head back to our car. And in that throng, and in that mass of people by the thousands, I told my daughter to hang on to me. You know, what many people need when they are searching for purpose and meaning, and while they are experimenting, what does it mean to trust God? What they need from Christians, and what they need from churches, and from good folk, they don't need a lecture or a reprimand for what they are doing wrong, because in most instances, maybe not all, they already know what is wrong. But what they do need is a friend, someone they can rely on, and someone that will hold their hand. So discipleship is about trying it on, but it's also about getting into the water. The main thing for Christians, really the church, is helping people, young and old alike, to have a sense of belonging, of making the initial decision to believe in God, to believe in Jesus Christ, to have that confession of faith, and to have God lead them by the Spirit. And when that happens, at some point you're going to have to make a decision if you will be baptized. It's literally getting your feet wet. And in this particular case, because we are by the Niagara River, it's getting your entire body wet. Letting the grace and mercy of God cleanse and flow over you. So today we're going to have a young child, through the instruction, through the example, and the encouragement of his parents, this young boy has made a decision to be baptized. And he has decided that he is going to step in that water. We also are going to have some adults who are going to remember their baptism. Whether it is this young boy or these older adults, have you ever gone to a pool, or the beach for that matter, and for the folks that are already in the water, they will say to the landlubbers, they'll say, come on in, the water's fine, come on in. I guess I would say the same thing to people who are on the outside looking in, who are literally sitting on the fence when it comes to baptism. Come on in, the water is fine. Come, become a part of the church. Become a part of a family. You know, in life, it is easier for a child to learn how to swim than a fearful adult learning how to swim. It's amazing what you must unlearn as an adult in order to trust and believe in God. Why? Because you have a lifetime of experiences, both good and bad. And sometimes those bad experiences is all you see. You know, the funny thing about life is this. We can hesitate in making up our mind, but you and I cannot hesitate making up your life. Life and faith gets made up one way or another. If you haven't made that decision, now is the time to just come on in. The water is just fine. So discipleship is many things. It's trying things on. It's getting into the water. But once you get into the water, you realize that you have to go into deeper water. The founder of the Methodist movement and revival that spread across the English countryside in the 18th and 19th centuries was John Wesley. And for 50 years after his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ, when his heart was strangely warmed over, John Wesley traveled around 250,000 miles across the English countryside, preaching over 40,000 sermons. He was accepted and reviled. He was embraced and threatened. He was reprimanded for his field preaching and going to the masses and to where everyday men and women were to be found. And in many instances, the bishops of the Church of England refused to allow the Methodists or John Wesley to preach in their sacred cathedrals. Even so, John Wesley was of the opinion that the greatest threat to the Wesleyan revival was not necessarily his critics or his naysayers. He went on to say that the real struggle was with the Methodists themselves, the faithful. It's reported that John Wesley once said the following. He said, Methodists not only believe in backsliding, they practice it maybe better than anyone else. His remedy was to form societies, class meetings, so that we could be accountable to one another for the state of their souls. Groups for men and women, and groups specifically for women and specifically for men. And these gatherings were held weekly, these class meetings. It was a way to counteract the backsliding that he talked about in the Christian faith. To expand upon this notion of accountability, it's one thing to talk about the weather, or who won the local professional football team's game, or hockey, or baseball, or basketball, or whatever sport you follow. But it is another thing altogether to talk about the state of your soul. So let me cut through the chase regarding ministry and fellowship. And I will say to everyone listening, the question I have for you is this. Are you involved in your local church for your spiritual growth and formation? What are you doing besides attending worship on Sunday morning? Are you a part of a Bible study? Are you a part of an educational group? Are you a part of a ministry? And if you're not, when are you going to begin? When we hear the word surrender, what comes to mind? Is it joy and inner peace, or is it feeling defeated? Do you feel you've been battered and bruised with your head hanging in shame, or maybe, worst of all, resignation to what you have done and what you are? Maybe surrender is finding a new Lord to whom you pledge your loyalty and a new country to pledge your allegiance. Maybe it's the main thing. And being baptized into a new life with Christ. Becoming a part of his body, the church. You see, that is the main thing. The main thing is preaching and living the gospel, the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. That human beings can have their sins forgiven. That they can be part of a local body. They can be around other men and women who also have the similar or the same struggles as them and have come to the realization that peace and happiness and contentment can only be found in the hands of God. So the main thing for the church is to preach the gospel and to baptize all people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.